Our sponsor for this month is Indigo Sundries. Indigo Sundries Soap Company is a Christian, family-owned, and operated small business that has been making soap for over 20 years. All of their products are free from seed oils, parabens, phthalates, petroleums, preservatives, and sulfates. They offer a large variety of scented soaps using premium fragrances, and also a selection of essential oil-only soaps for people with more crunchy convictions, as well as several non-scented soap options such as four different clay soaps, calendula, and talabar. All made with their proprietary recipe, the result is long-lasting cleansing and moisturizing bars of soap that will leave your skin feeling great. Plus, they offer liquid soaps, room sprays, and beard products as well. I personally got a bar of their soap this summer at a conference and absolutely fell in love with them. I hope you try them out. You can use a coupon code FRUITFUL10 to receive 10% off your order.
Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling.
Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks here with the whole crew again today, and it is 2025. How are you all?
Great. I really like 2025 already.
You do? Good. You're having a good day. You're having a solo day. Okay, so if you didn't know, Bree, Becky, and Kate are all here, in case you're thinking, who is the whole crew? That's the whole crew.
That's it. Just the four of us,
right? Yeah. So you got to just be by yourself today. So that's fun.
My husband lets me take a day each week if it's doable. When I say each week, that probably ends up being like half the weeks of the year.
Averages out, yeah.
Yeah, it averages out and probably less than that. But it's nice as a stay-at-home mom and homeschool mom to get out away from the kids to have a clear head to plan for homeschool. And I do things for the church and things like that. So
yeah. So it's quiet for a second.
Yeah.
You go to a coffee shop usually, or what do you usually?
Yes. I normally go to Honeymoon in Evansville, Indiana. Ooh. Shout out to them.
They have their own podcast.
I don't know anything about it actually. But Honeymoon Coffee is great. So I have a lot of friends who have helped with things there. But today I went to Carbondale and I just went to Panera.
It's nice.
So, okay. Yeah.
But you didn't get coffee there?
No, I got water and a salad.
And I made you coffee here. So
you made me coffee and it's very good. You need to tell us about your coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I just made a creamer with heavy cream and sweetened condensed coconut milk and a little bit of vanilla, the bourbon vanilla that Becky made, that is actually vanilla, not just bourbon, and some coconut extract. So it's like a toasted coconut latte, and puts the milk in the frother. That's what's magic. If you make someone a coffee, there's the elephants. Elephant
above us.
Oaks. I think it's oaks.
Oh, oaks, just dragons.
Oaks. Pairing up Jack above us. But if you froth the creamer and then put it in coffee, it's just like.
Do you use a special coffee? Or do you just.
No. This one, I switch it up. This one is it called Primal Valley or Paleo Valley?
Oh, yeah.
That we get the meat sticks from. Have you even got the meat sticks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Good. But they do sales every once in a while, and this was like a get a free bag of coffee if you buy two situation. So that's what this one is. I like mushroom coffee, but I think it's a total placebo effect. Like coffee that has mushroom in it that's supposed to like help cognitive. I don't know, but I feel like it does. Have any of you had this experience with the coffee with the mushrooms in it that are supposed to like help you have a brain?
I have not done the coffee with mushrooms.
Okay.
But there is a hot chocolate mix from Azure that has the mushroom in it. Yes.
Yeah.
And I give that to the kids in the wintertime. And it's because they're just like, we want hot cocoa.
Yeah.
We want hot cocoa every morning. And well, June is now on a coffee kick, which is my fault. But Jack every morning is like, I want hot cocoa. But I feel a lot better about giving that to him versus giving him like full-fledged hot cocoa.
Yeah. Oh, there's health benefits to
yes. And I will say, I do think I see a difference. And if he has, I feel totally fine giving it to him before school. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any issues focusing. He's not like super wired. I don't know.
I got a mushroom coffee shortly after I had oak. And so it was like time where you feel very mushy in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I did feel like it helped. But again, it could be completely placebo. So
was that the same time when you were taking the Shilajit?
Yeah, so maybe that.
I feel like when you're doing all the things, you're doing the best. So it's hard to pinpoint.
Yeah, that's true. It's like I am trying to be healthy in all areas. So something's helping me. Okay, my question is, do you have your Christmas decorations down?
No.
No, guys, it's still Christmas in the church year.
Yeah.
Don't fall in the church calendar.
I took down some of the more Christmassy things that say like Merry Christmas or a little wreath that says Merry Christmas and some of the really blatantly red things because in my brain I'm shifting to cozy winter.
Yes.
So I actually decorate for winter and then add the Christmas. And so then all I have to do is take down the Christmassy stuff, which is a ton.
Nice.
And then I just leave up all the wintry stuff because I love wintry
too.
Me too. Like, with, you know, all the everything that we do for Advent and the nativity and the my very inaccurate nativity.
But you French fry energy.
Jesus on French fries.
It's French fries.
Yes, it's not.
It's not actually a French fry.
It's only been like the past probably 3 or 4 years that I've done full blown like winter decorations after Christmas.
It's so fun.
I love it.
Yes.
It's so cozy.
And I feel like it makes me excited.
For winter.
For winter.
I love winter.
Like I can look forward to something, whereas in years past, I just felt so, it felt so barren in my home after Christmas.
I was like waiting for spring.
Right. When's April, you know? Yeah.
Jordan, I think you were the one that inspired me to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you started doing that, I was like, oh, it doesn't have to be sad after Christmas.
Yeah,
no, because I love Christmas so much.
I'll post some videos of things that I do.
Yeah.
But I go for a very, like, cool colors vibe. So I had this set of, I had this set of china that I got when I was probably 17 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
And it's light blue. I got it at a yard sale. And it's light blue. So I always put that in my pie safe with some, like, seafoam green glass bowls that I have. And so it's like light blues, light greens, whites, like wood elements. And I still leave up lights that aren't exactly Christmas lights, but are more like balls. Like I have some mercury glass balls,
just like
warm,
bitter lights,
warm light.
Twinkly lights still, but not Christmas lights. I have to text, be like, something's happening with us. And it's just,
our Christmas is still up. My in-laws are coming in this weekend. We're supposed to get a ton of really cold weather, some snow, and so I'm really hoping, they live about 7 hours away, and so I'm really hoping they can still come in, but they're planning on coming in and doing our McNeely Christmas at our house this weekend. So I left, our tree is still up,
still
have everything up, and there's that part of me that's like, okay, I'm ready for my winter stuff, I'm ready to kind of, you know, take all of the Christmas stuff down, especially since I decorated, well, you guys decorated my house early this year before surgery. And so because of that, I'm kind of like, oh, I'm ready for something fresh. But at the same time, the kids are so excited about Christmas with Mimi and Popo that it's totally fine. It's not a big deal. And I know that next week I can take it down and when everything's freezing and we can't go anywhere anyway because it's going to be like 3 degrees.
Yeah.
I can go ahead and refresh the house.
I have savored fall and Christmas more than I ever have this year, and I don't know why, but I loved fall and I totally savored it, and I wasn't in a hurry to put up Christmas. And then same with Christmas, I haven't felt in a hurry. A lot of years I'm like, I am sick of Christmas stuff, I'm ready to get it down, and I haven't felt like that. Even today I was taking down like my outside, or Jared took down the outside stuff, and I took down our downstairs tree, and the one upstairs was like, I'm not ready. So I left our upstairs tree. My boys are still like living in the jerseys that they got for Christmas. And we're still very much feeling Christmas. So yeah,
sweet.
But New Year's is upon us. Today is January 1st as we're recording this. And I always feel like New Year's is filled with so much hope. And I always feel like I have all kinds of thoughts and ideas whenever it comes this time of year. And I was wondering why that was, why I feel like so energetic in my thought life when it comes to New Year's. I'm like, I have all the ideas right now. And I think maybe it's because we take a school break and my brain has space to think about other things. And so that week between Christmas and New Year's, my brain is like, oh, there's room to do all the things. Becky and I were boxing last week. I was like, I am crushing it. I've done so many things and accomplished so much. Because I'm not doing school, we don't have as much on the schedule to go and do things. And so there's just like this mental space. So it is a great time of year to think about what things you might want to aspire to in 2025, what things you might want to stop doing or do away with that you've been doing. But yeah, I think that a little bit of boredom is great for you during the holidays, after the holidays, when you're leading up to New Year's, because it lets you have space to think.
Yeah.
Do you guys experience this? Do you feel like you have lots of thoughts and ideas around this time of year? Maybe it's just me.
Our sponsor for this month is Lily K Designs. Through landscapes, rich colors, and soft lighting, she strives to capture in her paintings this feeling of joy, nostalgia, and an indescribable ache that we experience when we see something truly beautiful. When hope, joy, and attention to detail intersect within a painting, there, the beauty of our world can be rediscovered through the lens of an artist. From looming mountains to clear blue lakes to even a beloved well-used swing, she creates and captures this interpretation of nostalgia, whimsy, and joy combined within the subject that is presented. She dabbles in a bit of everything with her art. She uses a variety of mediums, and she also creates custom paintings. Something that I've found really interesting with her work is her custom paintings, primarily landscapes and places that have become special for her clients. Whether she's painting a special location that your family returns to and visit year after year, that you want to have that permanent memory of in a beautiful painting on your wall, or a beautiful wood that your children play in. Her clients leave with an artistic rendition of a place that means something very special to them. She creates custom pieces within a thick gallery-wrapped canvas so that it is ready to hang on the wall with no frame required. And the thicker gallery canvas provides a sturdy and durable quality to the painting. Each painting is sealed with varnish that will preserve the painting for years to come. She also does art lessons if you have a student that you would like to contact her about. You can find out more about her artwork by going to her website at lilykdesigns.com. That's LILLYKdesigns.com. Or by reaching out to her on Instagram at lilykdesigns.
I feel like most years it's been pretty normal, but this year I feel more, I don't know, not like I'm crushing it. Because I'm not crushing it. I've been taking it real slow. But I don't know. I feel more encouraged this year, previous years. And I don't know why. I don't know why. Well, but your line of thinking there, I think, is definitely spot on. Most people are on a break and their minds have...
Yes. Yeah. Which is why it's so good to let your kids be bored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's why it's so good to, like, not overburden kids' schedules or not let them constantly be entertained, because... Yes.
They get creative.
They get creative, and you'll be so surprised at the things that they come up with when they're a little bit bored.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. So that actually is my goal. I'm not a goal maker. Mason is. And it's really funny because we look back at his goals for 2024 and he's like, wow, I didn't meet hardly anything. I said, well, if anything, it's humorous. And
yeah.
A lot of it, you know. But he's a goal person. And ever since we've been married, he's like, what are your goals for this? What are your goals for that? And he's definitely more of a goal maker. And I feel like I've never been able to, like, make a pinpointed goal, if that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
until this year. And I made my goal as being less hurried, but having more growth. So slower, but straining forward. And then I wrote, like, how I'm going to do this. But that was my goal. And I was like, gosh, that's so cool. How did I,
how did I do that?
Yeah, I love that. So that's my goal for 2025. And then I read in the book Deeper. Have you guys read? I think it's Dane Ortlund is how you pronounce his name. He had the...
I have not. I read his...
Gentle and Lowly.
Yeah, I read that.
I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. But he had a quote in there that I just started reading this. It's like one of my New Year's books. He had a quote that said, a strangely relaxed strenuousness. So we strain forward, but it is a straining that is at the same time relaxed. And I was like, that is exactly what I'm trying to go for,
mm-hmm.
for 2025. And so for me, that looks like some things like I pulled off of social media, which is not a just, oh, I'm just totally off. That was actually years moving toward that because there were things that I had to let go of in order to get off. And things that are good, too, like helping out with church things and American Heritage Girl programs and keeping in contact with people. So it's not easy to just completely pull off social media.
Yeah, it's true, because you have to
figure
out other ways that you're going to communicate.
Yeah, and my sister-in-law this morning, I texted her and I said, I expect you to keep me updated on the crazy chaos world and send me all the funny things. My niece and my nephew to keep my humor, because she's the one that sends me all the funny reels.
Yeah.
So I told her I expect her to do that. And she said, basically, you know, like she'd like to pull off too, but things like boil orders, you know,
yeah.
Or like another mom I talked to, like keeping up with the kids' sports, you have to be on social media for that. So it's been years in the making of me being able to pull off. Thankfully, I'm a homeschool mom, so I can do that a little bit easier. I'm going to pass the baton to other things like church pages and stuff like that to other people. But that's one that's going to help me be less hurried, more focused, more slow. And then the other one was read more. Me and my husband are going through a Bible in 1 year. We bought a Bible in 1 year, like the ESV one. And I feel like that's...
Do you have that 1 year Bible? That one?
It's a newer one.
Okay.
That's probably basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to go through that together. I've never done the actual like physical Bible. I've done ones on my phone and stuff like that. And then I'm going to spend more time outside. I don't know if you guys follow the 1000 Hours Outdoor podcast and pages.
Mm-hmm.
We shot for 1000 hours last year, and I don't know if we met it because I didn't log it, but that's like 2 to 3 hours outside. And during the fall and spring, we basically live outside. So I feel like we came very close.
Probably averaged out. Yeah. Probably
more than my kids for sure met 1000. I probably didn't. I had a baby and I was in more than I would have liked to be. But that's another thing. Spend more time outside, and that will help us
be slower. So what are your tactics to achieve these goals? For your unhurried but straining forward, what are some things that you have in mind? You said you wrote some of that down. I'm curious to hear it.
Yeah, so I think the tactics were like get off social media, read more, be outside more, things like that. But I think I'm shaping my mind from like being successful and like productive, not that that's bad, to being faithful, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like just because something's, I've been talking to Kate about this, just because something's good and just because the Lord had you do it for a season doesn't mean it's faithful to keep doing it. And so like there were things that I was really clutching to that, I mean, brings me to tears even thinking about it, that I really had to let go. And it was good things that I knew I was talented in or I was gifted in, but the Lord said no to it, you know? And I think that's why 2025 feels so much different, because I truly feel freedom. Like getting off of social media was a huge one. Even though I'm not on it that much, and even though I'm decent at like monitoring my time, I can't explain it, but when I like finally said, okay, Mason, I'm done. Like I'm just finished. Cause I had all these things that I couldn't, it's like, well, I can't get off social media because of this. I can't get off of because of this. I have these things that are still, I'm responsible for. The Lord was saying other people can be responsible for those things. Cause I'm not calling everyone to get off social media. Social media is not inherently wrong.
Yeah.
It's just for me in this season, I want off, and I know that that's where the Lord's leading me. So I feel a lot of freedom in that, and just choosing what is faithful for me. That doesn't mean, obviously we're all called to general obedience and, you know, the things that the Bible tells us to do, but faithfulness is going to look different for different people. And so evaluating that for yourself, I think is good.
Yeah. My dad often said, just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's a God thing. And I think that's a popular, I don't think he coined that, but that's a great term just to like have those handles of, is this really what God is calling me to in this season? Just because it's good doesn't mean that it is good for me for right now.
Right.
So that's cool.
I think as moms too, for the listeners that are moms, I mean, everyone should be reevaluating that every year and in different seasons and as you feel the Lord's leading. But I feel like as moms, the seasons change so quickly, and it's easy to hold on to something from even 2 months ago when your family dynamics were different.
Yeah, right.
And it's not that it's bad. It's just that I realized when I became a mom, and especially as Audrey started getting bigger and like we were more conversation focused and correction focused and that kind of thing, things have moved so quickly, especially she's 2.5, especially the last like year and a half. I've had to let go of so many things and pick up so many other things and learn things that it's just, I feel like you're just always having to reevaluate, especially as a mom, just constantly, because your family dynamics shift so much, as they should. But kids needs change and your focus has to shift too. And sometimes that can be hard.
I think that's a really good practical tip though for 2025. Like, what is your task? Cause that shifts from moment to moment, day to day, season to season. What is your task? If you're feeling anxious or overwhelmed or like, I don't know what my goals are for 2025. Mm-hmm. Like, what is your task? For me, I know that's things like, okay, I'm a wife and a mother. First, I'm a daughter of God, so my task is to grow deeper in my walk with Him, obviously, but grow deeper in my walk with my children and my husband. I'm also a homeschool mom and I'm a pastor's wife, so those are like my main tasks, and then I need to throw myself at those full force completely. So that's what I mean by like very straining, like I'm still straining forward, but yet I'm doing it in a slow way, in a restful way.
And I think thinking about it in that way, like these are my clear roles for this season, then it can help you cut away the things that are making you feel overwhelmed. Like,
yes,
I'm not a social media influencer. Like, right. And so I can do away with that because it's something that takes me away from these other roles. If you are feeling overwhelmed or if you are feeling like you're not able to do your other roles as faithfully as you could, then it's great to be like, okay, what actually fits in the path that I'm called to right now? And yes. What doesn't fit? And I cannot do that for now.
Yes. And that's hard if you're a person who's good at lots of things. And I think women wear lots of hats.
Yes.
So if you're a woman listening, you're probably good at lots of things. If you feel like you're not good at lots of things, then maybe 2025 is the year to fix things to be good at. But it can be hard for the one who was like, oh, I like this and I like that, like the more creative mind, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you're just going to go.
Okay. You guys are so sweet. I'm like,
go.
One thing to keep in mind too is just because you set something down for a season, it doesn't mean you're done
forever.
With it forever. But sometimes it's easy to hold on to it, sludge those things.
Yes.
I really love this and I really enjoy this. And think, well, if I set this down, I'm never going to get it back. Or God's never going to give me another opportunity.
And that's not true.
And honestly, when you look at that, your motivation is rooted in a distrust of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Of, do I trust him enough to say, okay, here, you can have this back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give this to you with an open hand and trust that if this is a skill set that you want me to use later on, you're going to give me an avenue to do that. It might be the same avenue. It may be something totally different.
Yeah.
But you need to release that to him. Again, willingly, cheerfully, and say, okay, I'm going to lay this at your feet and be obedient in this. And if there's ever a season where, hey, I can pick this back up, I trust that you're going to lead me to that in the right time when it's a better fit for our family, for our schedule, for me personally. But not having that mindset of, well, if I let this go, one, who's going to pick it up? It's okay. It's actually,
right.
I think, in my experience, it's very unhealthy if you think I am the only person
right. That
can do this well. One, I think you're tiptoeing on the edge of pride there. Not you personally, but are saying, no, I can't do this or I can't let go of this because nobody else is going to do this like I can or no one else is skilled in this way. You might be robbing somebody else of an opportunity for growth to step into something that the Lord wants to grow them in.
Yeah.
And you also probably have a bad... Just to be very blunt, you probably have some pride that needs to be handled of, I don't need to be holding on to this this tightly. There are other people that God can either gift this way or has gifted and they don't have an opportunity. So especially with things like ministry, everything has to be with an open hand of, there might be a season where I don't need to be doing this.
Like I have an example of that. Like I was telling Kate today, when we moved and we switched churches for a time being, I could not do music in the way that I had in the past, and primarily because I was having children back to back and I just couldn't get up there to help do the music, and there was no one to do the music, and I felt like
I physically could but I can't, like it's not good for me too. And that is a hard distinction too, is like I physically could do this thing, like my voice or my hands could do this thing, but it would not be good for me to do this thing.
Right.
And that's a hard spot to sit into.
It is. It was about 4 years that I sat in, kind of going in and out of helping with music, but not really. And it was kind of, it was one of those things where I really felt like, gosh, in some seasons, like this is really hard. But then towards the end of it, the Lord is really growing me through this. And I've always prayed, and this is a scary prayer to pray, just like they say, don't pray for patience because, you know,
you'll have opportunity to practice.
I've prayed many times in my life that the Lord would strip everything away until all I have left is him. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means he strips away things like that you're just really good at or you really love or he's really gifted you in, but those can't come before him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think things like music and worship or things that you're doing in the church can sometimes have the facade of, oh, well, this is helping my walk with the Lord. But if it ever starts to become more than Christ, you know, and it's not all about Christ, he might just strip that away for a time being to make you more reliant on him. And that's a gift.
Yeah.
It's a true gift.
Those identity pieces of like, but I am a person who does music.
Yeah.
Or I am, for me, for a long season, is like, I am a person who sews and makes things. And it's like, not right now. I am a person who cooks food and cleans houses and changes diapers and does school. That is the person who I am because I can't do all the things all the time. And you have to be okay with laying those things down that you felt like were who you were. And it's like, it's okay. It's okay to not be that person.
Yeah.
And remembering that your identity is found in Christ.
Yeah.
Circumstances.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not in any lofty goal that you have. That's mm-hmm. not where your identity lies. Yeah. So thinking ahead to the new year, as everybody's setting goals, even if, like you said, Bree, you guys reflected and Mason was like, wow, I did none of this. Even if you get to the end of 2025 and the goals that you're setting this week or in this season, you look back on and you go, I didn't lose the weight that I wanted to lose, or I didn't get this done, or I didn't accomplish this. It's okay, because we can take so much comfort knowing that our identity is not wrapped up
right.
in the things that we do and the things that we accomplish, because ultimately our bodies are going to turn to dust. Our homes are going to turn to dust. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to turn to dust. But thankfully, that's not where our identity and our value doesn't lie in the things that we do. It lies in Christ and what he's already done for us. So there's so much comfort and just a lot of rest that can come from that, because we don't have to be burdened by these goals that we set. Are they fun to set? Yes. Is it good to have aspirations and goals and things? Absolutely. But keeping them grounded, knowing, okay, even if none of these things come to fruition, the Lord is still good. Even if 2025 ends up being, you know, a bit of a dumpster fire, it's okay.
Yeah.
Lord willing, that's not what will happen. But even if it does, he's still good. We're still his children. And ultimately, we're not going to be here forever.
Yeah. And being reminded that sanctification is a lifelong process until mm-hmm. glory, that we will forever be taking off our old selves
yes.
and putting on new, and like trusting God to change us, that mm-hmm. just because it's a new year doesn't mean like, okay, checked it off, new self, here I am, all is done now, that we won't accomplish it all this year. But knowing that like we take small steps every year, every day, every hour, minute, you know, in our walk of sanctification, that we want to always be willing to continue on in this and know that we're not done until we go to heaven.
Also, a thought on that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be discouraged this year if there are things that you thought the Lord had sanctified you in.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, what is happening?
And there it is again.
I was talking to
yeah.
Kate, I think it was you. There was one day where I was really snappy with the kids and it just broke my heart. I was really upset about it. And I remember I was praying as I was driving. I was like, Lord, I was so patient when I was a teacher and I had 13 children with special needs, sometimes more than 13. I was so patient with them. And why can I not be patient with my 3-year-old or my 5-year-old? What is wrong with me? My sanctification is going backwards. And I told Brandon that and he just laughed. He goes, your sanctification is not going backwards. Mm-hmm. First of all, that's not how it works. And in my head, I knew that, but I needed to hear that. And he goes, but these children are with you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like God is continuing to sanctify you in patience. It's not that you're somehow reverting yeah. back to, you know.
He put you up on the next level.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah.
Oh, you want, okay, 13 that are not yours that you have for 6.5 hours and then send home and have weekends off from is very different from 3 full-time little people mm-hmm. all needing me in very different capacities daily.
So you're invested in their eternal
yes.
well-being.
Yes.
Not that
yes.
you didn't love the kids that you served at school.
Right.
But you don't you're not really influencing what's happening at home.
So much more
well,
responsible.
Yes.
Yes.
And so. One thing that really dawned on me this year was I thought that God was growing me in this one area, you know, and it's like, God, I really am praying about this one thing. And then about halfway through the year when I'm like, I feel like I'm not growing. I'm just as awful as I was 3 months ago about this. And then it was like, oh, maybe he's wanting to grow me in humility. That no, I will not be perfect at this, maybe yeah, ever.
That's what my husband says.
And it's like sometimes when you don't feel like you're growing or you feel like you're going backwards, maybe it's because God's wanting to grow you in a different way, mm-hmm. like in humility or dependence on him.
That's
or,
a great perspective. Yeah.
So you don't get to pick the fruit.
No.
You get to trust that God is growing something and you don't get to pick what it is. And you just say, thank you.
And try again. Often like that one thing that you're struggling with, that one sin issue, like if you didn't have that, you'd be patting yourself on the back, right?
Man,
you know,
thinking,
like I'm doing a pretty good mm-hmm. job, you know, but it's that one is a continuous reminder. Not that we should not pray to get past that,
yeah,
but,
right.
you know, it's kind of like that thorn in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It's keeping me humble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody else have goals that they're going to try for this year? Anything?
I feel like you have like
objectives.
Categories.
Yeah, I'm sure you have categories.
on categories.
You go ahead. 4 to 8 months.
Well, mine, I didn't have an overall goal because I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but my life was going one direction. And then we decided, we joined Christ Church and we're super inspired by everyone and their love for kids and just the joy of raising kids and the admonition of the Lord. We were so excited. And then we had Audrey and it was the biggest blessing and still is the biggest blessing. But I was a career lady,
mm-hmm.
and I found a lot of my identity in that, and I didn't realize how bad it was until I decided to be a stay-at-home mom, and I willingly gave that up. It was kind of a year process of me and the Lord chipping away and, like, me knowing I wanted to be home, but just practically we couldn't figure out that piece. And it was about a year later, I walked in, quit my job, and walked out feeling like a huge burden had been lifted. But then, and I thought that was the end of it. And the Lord was just beginning on my heart and, like, peeling over the onion of layers of, like, oh, look, here's where you found your identity before. And here's, you know, like, here's where you were prideful before because you were this and here and here. And it's been a great journey. It's been hard at times because I've also shifted a lot. I was really used, this is going to sound selfish, but I'm just putting it out there. Or not selfish. It's going to expose my heart, I think. I have 2 degrees and about 80% of a PhD, and I found so much of an identity in all those letters behind my name.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it was a waste. There was a purpose for it, but the purpose has been for me to then renounce that as part of, like, who I am and say my kid is worth more than that for me.
Amen. Yeah.
And it was... So I'm kind of on the other end of that. I have a license, so I still see patients like 2 times a month, but I have done, it's the Lord has just stripped me and stripped me and stripped me and revealed and revealed and revealed for 2.5 years. And it has been great, but really it's just been hard. It's been hard to then find my, you know, I was really used to people coming up to me and saying, well, who do you work for and what's your degree and what's this and what's this and what things do you have under your name or next to your name and going to conferences? And then when I suddenly got in a crowd of people that were godly and we enjoyed going to church with, and not that we didn't love, if there are people from my old church, we love you too. We very much love you. But when we shifted to Christ Church, there was such a family atmosphere. And suddenly no one was asking about my accomplishments. And it was this realization of, hold on, this doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Like, the Lord has a purpose for it and he can use it if that's where you're at, if you don't have kids yet, if you're not a mother yet, you know, and you felt called to go do something, to be a nurse, to be whatever you are. The Lord can use that. But for me, all of a sudden, I was having this realization of, this is not it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been, I'm now on the other side of it, and it's been a really good journey. But I couldn't make a goal because this past year with Home with Audrey was my big sanctification, trying to figure out, okay, well, what skills can I curate at home? What skills can I, what are my interests? Like, how do my interests... Because I liked achieving. I wasn't really interested in the things I was achieving. I was doing it to achieve them. To be honest.
Yes.
It was...
My interest was achieving.
My interest was achieving.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of creative interests that are in motherhood and that are in creating things and beautifying my home and things like that. And so this entire year has been about, well, Lord, what do you want me to do with my skills at home with my kid? And how can I glorify you in a totally different way that I'm used to doing? And so this year, I feel like I have a bit of a basis now. I kind of know my limits and everything. But I also am now in a season where she's 2.5 and things are a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's totable and she loves doing things and she loves running with me and she loves going places.
She's totable.
She's totable. So it would be so easy for me to overburden us with things to do and fun things to go try. And so this is the year of, like, just being simple and slow.
So your goal is to have no goals.
So yeah. Truly. I have objectives, though. So hold on. All of a sudden, we have some allergies in our house, and I feel the Lord very strongly saying, you have to figure out cooking. You have to get creative. You have to dive into it, which is funny. And I told you this, I think last night, Jordan, about how when I was in early college, I told my mom, I just don't really like cooking. I'm just not much of a cook. I'm more of a baker. And I just feel like the Lord was like, just you wait. I'll be a cook. And I cooked some when we were first married, but I was also in school and working full time. So it was a lot of like just whatever I can figure out. And now I'm getting into being creative with food. Mm-hmm. And it's fun.
It is fun.
Not the allergy part. That's not super fun. But but it's fun because the Lord is like, you're going to figure out how to serve your family in this avenue. I want to look into like herbs a little bit more because they're just out there in the fields waiting to be used to know what to do with them.
There's a plethora of them.
Yes. And it grows everywhere. And you can use it for lung everything. And there's always something going around this time of year with your lungs.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we're also getting into homeschool this year a little bit more. So I've just got a few ideas for that. But I also used to work at a thrift store very part-time, and I quit that to do markets with Becky. So I have a little bit of a creative outlet, and I'm excited because it will be less time away from my home, but a really fun avenue too. So, I mean, and that's probably seasonal too. We would love to expand our family. So I'm holding everything with an open hand this year, because if the Lord blesses us, then everything will go out the window for a few months after, you know, giving birth. But I eventually would love to write a book to help new mothers adjust in all of those.
I love that right after you have had Audrey, you're like, I am putting together a binder. Everyone send me all your tips.
I was like, this.
And I love it. It should be put together.
It is so odd to me that there are no books out there compiling tons of information for new moms. Because especially if you even so much as want to look into anything, like beyond if you want to look into vaccines or food without dyes or anything, you're doing that on your own. Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, no fault to the any doctors you see or anything, but they're not going to typically hand you pamphlet after pamphlet and be like, look into this and this and this.
The mother's kid book. You need the mother's
handbook.
Yes. Yeah. So we're all going to achieve this goal.
The mother's handbook. If you want to see it come to fruition,
help me.
Just
message me on Instagram. But I would love to see that come to fruition someday. So I'm just always plugging away a little bit at a time. But I'm holding everything with an open hand because, you know, there's a quote. I don't know if it was Calvin or probably not. It's probably someone I'm not going to think about. Sproul, maybe.
Okay.
Very different people. Different times. I don't know. He said something like, you have to hold everything in your life with an open hand. Otherwise, it will be very painful when the Lord pries something out of your hand. I'm butchering it, but that's the gist of it. And I heard that last year when I had a lot of 2 years ago, when I had a lot of postpartum, just anxiety about things. And I just remember thinking, like, this is going to be a bit of a struggle in postpartum, but I have to start learning. And that was, you know, me coming out of a career woman mindset too. And the Lord just constantly peeling back the onion of all these, you know, things he wanted to rid me of.
Yeah.
And that quote has just always stuck with me.
That's cool.
I mean, not enough for me to know who said it. But
know who said it?
Yes.
I don't have any guesses.
I bet it was C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis.
No.
Hello. Corey Ten.
All right.
Nice. Hold everything in your hands lightly. Otherwise, it hurts when God pries your fingers open.
Nice.
And I think that is very good
advice. That is good. When in doubt, just credit C.S. Lewis.
Right. He is the best writer. We're reading Narnia right now still. And I'm like, oh, so good.
Which one are you on?
Just go.
We're on The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Okay.
I've read them before, but I'm reading them out loud to the kids.
Nice. Ransom is starting The Horse and His Boy when we start back to school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
Reading them in front of the fire, too.
Oh, Christmas man.
Time.
Well, magic.
So fun.
Yeah. Okay, Becky, what do you got?
Okay.
Give us your categories.
Okay. Maybe I won't share them all. I don't want to take up too much time. So one of my categories was reading. And this year I came close to 25 books.
Good job.
But I didn't
But my problem is I got real bad book ADHD at the end. And I thought, oh, but I wanted to read this one, but I want to read this one. So I still have a stack of probably 5 books on my nightstand that I haven't.
Do you read one at a time?
No.
Okay.
Because I'm bad about that.
You have to read in categories. You got to have something a little bit lighter, magical, fun,
something
parenting. Something parenting. Yes.
I usually have like a before bed, an afternoon.
That's good.
An early morning.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Before bed, I always read fiction.
Yeah.
In the afternoon, I usually read like a life application thing.
Do you have a weird dreams since you read fiction before bed?
If I take magnesium, I do. I always have weird dreams if I take magnesium before bed. And people always say that magnesium makes you sleep good, but it makes me like crazy dreams. Side note.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually read, it's usually a fiction before bed, but I have to be careful because if I get too invested in it, all of a sudden it's way too late and I've lost sleep that I really needed. But so I would like to actually finish 25 books. I know I started 25 books, but I did not finish all of them. So I also want to read more chapter books with the kids. We went through the whole Magic Treehouse series with Jack about a year ago, and I loved it.
That's a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot. Well, we went through we got through like 30.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Or something like that. And she's still writing them. So there's more than that now. But we were reading them. So we'd do dinner and then bath and PJs and then family worship. And then whatever time was left in the evening, we would just sit and read. And Brayden would usually read out loud to the kids. And so they were going through Magic Treehouse. And then really this last year, everything got upended in our house when my health started to decline really fast and was just really intense. And so that was one of the things that went by the wayside that really made me sad, because everything was just, it was just harder. Life this last year was just harder. And so that's one thing I want to do more, is I want to read two to four chapter books a month is my goal with the kids. And then because my health was bad this last year, well, you guys know, but I'm sure, I don't know, I don't think I've shared what happened. So I had a lot of health stuff that started at the beginning of last year. Really, after I had Elsie, things just kind of went haywire. I had some postpartum hemorrhaging after I had Elsie, and then everything just kind of spiraled from there. And this last year, we kind of, for a handful of months, we were kind of tossed between, do I have cancer? Do I not have cancer? What do I have going on? Because they found a mass. And then miraculously, it was an endometrioma, which means I have late stage endometriosis. But the mass was not a tumor. We're very thankful. Mm-hmm. But I lost an entire ovary with the surgery that they did. And then after the surgery, I was talking to the surgeon and the doctor in St. Louis, and I was like, okay, what can I do? Because now I am one ovary down, I have one left. What can I do health-wise to make sure that this doesn't happen again? And I was met with, well, we can put you on birth control.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, well, no thanks. Would really rather not, because I know all of the other host of things that can come with that. And Lord willing, we would love more children, although endometriosis might, you know, change that route for us. We may end up with adoption, and that would be great. But right now, we would love to be able to have more biological children. So this whole last year was just very intense, because I was in pain constantly. Sometimes during the month, it was way, way worse than others. But I did not realize until really this last week, because my surgery recovery is totally done now, and I didn't realize how sick I was this last year until I feel like I do now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I can think clearly. My body doesn't feel riddled with pain. I can wear jeans. I can, you know, all of these things. And so this year, one of my big goals is getting my health back fully, because I never really got it back fully after Elsie, because everything just kind of fed into each other and became a whole tangled mess. And so, and this last year was sanctifying. I am actually, funnily enough, I am thankful for a lot of the challenges that this last year presented. It forced me to slow down. It forced me to learn that rest is productive. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot of sanctifying lessons that I won't dive into for sake of time here, but God taught me a ton through this last year So I'm thankful for that, but I'm hopeful that this year my health will not be crippling. Mm-hmm. And some of my own research, so the doctor said, oh, birth control, that's all you can do, or we can do a full hysterectomy. I was like, well, no thanks on either front, mm-hmm. because I don't want to go into menopause in my early 30s. And I would, you know, really love to not be on birth control, and that's not an option for me. And so but in my own digging, I found out it's all endometriosis is hormone related and blood sugar related. So a lot of health stuff for me looks like pretending I'm diabetic this year and eating a diabetic diet to regulate my blood sugar, to keep hormones regulated, and working out in appropriate ways can also help your hormones. So a lot of my focus physically this year is just hormone health, mm-hmm. and not making excuses for not working out. I love going to the gym, but in this season of life with 3 children and a husband who works multiple jobs, that's not
realistic. Another thing to do. Yeah.
It's not realistic that I'm going to get to go and spend an hour lifting at a gym. Yeah. It's just not. And I need to be content with that. So that's one of my goals this year too. Not, I don't know if that's really a goal, but that's just something I'd like to change about my own mindset this year, is I need to be content in the season that I'm in, know what my parameters are, know where my restrictions are, and know right now, ideally, yes, I'd love to be in the gym, but right now, my task and my assignment is to take good care of my body so that I'm a good mom. And not that I wasn't a good mom this last year, but there were a lot of things that my health restricted that motherhood-wise I would have loved to have been able to go do. And so this year I want to take really good care of my body so that I can take really good care of my family and my kids. And that means being content with a workout video in my living room, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
and not feeling frustrated about that.
Yeah.
Saying, okay, it's better than if I do nothing.
Yeah.
And this morning we bundled up the kids and we went out on like a 1.5 mile walk, mm-hmm. and had a great time. That's exercise. That counts. It's better than moping on your couch.
Yes.
About the fact that you can't get to the gym.
Right.
You know? So
let go of like the glamorous, idealistic,
yes.
whatever you think it has to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, one day when the kids are teenagers,
yeah.
they can come to the gym with me.
Yeah.
We can go work out. So again, it's just a season where I'm setting that down, and it's okay. It's not a big deal. And I need to not be a sissy about it. So physically, that's one of my goals. And then let's see. My other goal is, this last year, a lot of my prayer life was just, it was like desperate cries. Speaking of desperate cries, I think you're getting some through your vents.
Hey, mama,
can you hear me? A lot of my prayer life this last year, we had a lot of, on top of my health, we had a lot of really heartbreaking situations with family that just was really, really intense and took a toll on me emotionally. And so a lot of my prayer life this last year was like those Psalms, and I can't mm-hmm. think of like the numbers in my head right now. But one of the books I read this last year was Psalms for Trials?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was those Psalms of where David's just crying out, like, Lord, save me. Lord, save
like
me.
Like a pop-up prayer.
Comfort to me. Yeah. Help me.
Yeah.
You know, and coaching my soul of, don't be distressed. Don't mm-hmm. be dismayed. The Lord is still here. You know, he's still on his throne. So that was a lot of my prayer life this last year. And this year, one of my goals is for my prayer life to be more intentional to those around me, where I'm spending more time. Not that it's bad to pray those prayers. It's good. And you should be coaching your soul in that way through those seasons. But this year, I want to be intentional with praying for people right there with them. If they have something that they're like, hey, I need you to pray for me about. Okay, let's pray.
Mm-hmm.
And not just thinking, okay, I'll put that on a list for later, but be intentional with that. And that includes my children.
Yeah.
So if they're having a sin struggle, if they're having a hard day, taking a moment and saying, okay, everything else can wait. Let's stop and let's pray about it.
Yeah.
And be intentional with that. And then also checking back in with people that I've been praying for. I want to be more diligent at doing that. So not being content with them just being on my prayer list, because they may not even know. And not that they need to know I'm praying for them, but when you're in a hard season, having somebody say, hey, like text you or talk to you at church or wherever you're at and say, hey, I've been praying for you. How are you? Or Kate, you did that. You actually both did this before surgery, just in the middle of health stuff, would send me a verse and just say, hey, I'm praying this scripture for you today. And that brought so much comfort. And I would like to be able to
to
do that and do that for other people as well this year. So that's one of my goals, is just being really intentional with prayer.
Cool.
So what were your categories altogether now?
Physical, spiritual, and then reading.
Physical, spiritual, reading.
Mm-hmm. I feel like my overall, I have a lot of little things that I just like want to do this year. Not necessarily goals, but like, of course, I want to do my reading goals and habits and things like that. But a few years ago, I did like, I want to do this many books. And I found myself rushing through my books mm-hmm. instead of enjoying them and remembering them. And I'll look back at my reading list and be like, what was that book about? I can't remember. So that's kind of true of me in a lot of areas of life, is I'm a big like achiever. I want to achieve and I enjoy that. And my goal is kind of to slow down a little bit more and savor and actually learn mm-hmm. and actually enjoy the things that I'm doing rather than just getting through them in like I can check it off my list mm-hmm. kind of thing. So, so I do want to continue like some reading habits and things like that. I want to do some exercise and fitness stuff. And then Becky's going to help me clean and organize my attic. I'm pretty excited about that. That's a goal for me. My attic is crazy. And then, just being unhurried and having space for thought and space for intentionality. And it's those little things like, one of my favorite parts of my day is reading out loud to the kids at nighttime mm-hmm. before bed. And when our life gets busy, it's things like that that gets knocked out. It's like, oh, we don't get to read before bed. And how many nights has it been since we've done that? Mm-hmm. And I want to be unhurried enough to be intentional in doing the things that we intend to do mm-hmm. and want to do.
In that book, Brie, I don't know if you've actually said the name of the book you're holding, but it's called Teaching from Rest. Mm-hmm. And in that book, one of the things that she recommends is planning. I'm trying to remember the percentage. I think it's 60% of your day. So keeping a certain amount of your day planned, because you do have to have a plan, right? You don't just want to shoot from the hip all day, every day, because then you end up in chaos.
Right.
But not planning everything so much mm-hmm. that you have no margins for life to actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the toddler spilling their sippy cup all over the floor, that's life. It's going to mm-hmm. happen. And if you have your day planned and everything packed so full that is now an inconvenience to you.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because your children are not an inconvenience but they will feel like that if your day is packed so mm-hmm. full. So, but that just having, for me, I'm a numbers person. So having that in my head of, okay, 60% of my day is planned, the rest of it's mm-hmm. not. And then it makes it easier for you to have those margins
for the things that you
want to do. And if you have extra time, like you said, it's okay to be bored.
Yeah. Bored is a good thing.
Find some fun things when you're bored.
Yeah. And then I have lots of prayers I want our home to be a peaceful home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I have my whole life. I always aspire to. I always want our home to be a peaceful place. And you and I have had this conversation a lot of times, that with little kids, a peaceful home looks different than it does to an older woman whatever. So just having a realistic version of a peaceful home and then pursuing that and cultivating that. And then just having healthy ways to deal with stress or overwhelm, because that's a natural part of life. And especially as a mother, is having stressful moments where the sippy cup is spilled at an inconvenient time. And so like having a game plan ahead of time, what are healthy ways to deal with moments like that, and healthy ways to deal when you feel overwhelmed or exhausted or whatever. And then letting go of unrealistic or pointless expectations. Things with school or with parenting or with friendship or church life or anything. Just why does that matter in the least bit? And I had to do that a lot with our school life. I just kind of had this thought or vision in my mind of what homeschool looked like when you had a lot of kids, or what it was supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And then letting go of that and being like, actually, our family doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. That's not how my brain works. That's not how my children's brain works. That's not how we thrive in the best way when it comes to learning. So letting go of some of those, like, why did I think I had to do it that way?
Mm-hmm.
Or why did I think that this didn't count or something like that? So just being realistic about what are the best things for our family and letting go of just pointless things, and do things that you enjoy. That is another thing that I have on my list, because I can get very caught up in just doing all the things that need to be done and not making time for things that are just for fun, for myself. I mean, I feel like I do fun things with my kids and do things that they enjoy because that's like on my task of I want to take really good care of them. And we do lots of things that they think are fun, but making time. And I feel weird because I don't want it to come across selfish, but also I feel like there was this really big pendulum swing against self-care, and I'm not promoting like being selfish in any way, but there's this like really big pendulum swing against self-care, and that's wonderful, but not at the detriment of an unhealthy mother.
Right.
So I do think it's also very important to prioritize yourself in as much as that you are healthy so that you can take care of other people. So finding space in your life for things that you do enjoy, that you feel good about, and exercising and eating right and drinking water and going to the bathroom when you you need to, and all the things that it's like, this sounds like it's not a big deal, but until it's a big deal and you're like, why am I holding my pee so long? You know, it's like you got to stop and do the things that are taking care of yourself. So finding that balance of like being a healthy mother, of taking care of a lot of people and taking care of a lot of things and having a productive household, and then also making time to be healthy. So in all the ways.
And one thing that I've noticed too, so June loves playing with baby dolls, and I've heard her playing the way that I mother. And sometimes it's just really funny. Sometimes she does not mother at all.
Not take credit for that.
That is, should see my firstborn play in the animals. Was not the way she is mothered.
But I will say it is sobering when you hear your child being you in certain aspects where you're like, oh, I do say that a lot, or I do behave that way, or I do, you know, and knowing that. And not just for girls, boys too are watching. So your children in general are watching you. Are they watching their mom be joyful?
Yeah,
are they watching her find healthy ways to handle her negative emotions? Yeah. Or are they watching her? Are they watching her pray? Are they, you know, so even doing things that you enjoy is okay for your kids to see you. And like, you're very creative and very artistic. It would be great for them to see you just sit down and draw because you like to draw.
And that's, you know, it's been such a blessing during the art class.
Yeah.
Because it's forced me to draw and do things like that I just enjoy. And it's been such a blessing. But I think it was like last year, I was like, I don't know if my kids have ever even seen me draw. You know what I mean? Because when they were really little, maybe I did. And then they've grown and I'm like, I wonder if they even know that that's something that I do sometimes, you know?
It's like a hidden super.
Yeah.
I can draw.
I know.
Yeah. What?
But yeah, I think that it's easy in motherhood to just kind of go a really long time and been like, wow, I haven't played the piano in a super long time, or I haven't done this or that in a super long time. And just knowing that like, we're not slaves. No one is a slave. That we are free, that Christ has set us free in our service to Him, and to not feel burdened by the tasks that we have to do, but feel free to do them out of gratitude that we're not trying to earn anything in our work. But
I think we can idolize our work, like
Dad
or being a wife, and then what happens is you're not sitting down drawing, and your kids seeing that you're actually, quote unquote, taking care of your kids 24/7.
Yeah.
And then I noticed this was years ago, they don't do it anymore. But I think it was just when Anora was born, because I don't remember the other kids doing it. I'm sorry, I'm calling you out, Anora.
You're
only eight. But when I started to get to the piano, she would fuss and she wanted mom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of that's not bad, but now I've seen that in other ways in our life where if the kids don't get what they want right away, they fuss at mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to learn how, like you were saying, you know, you hold your pee in all day.
Yeah.
I've had to learn how to stop.
Yes.
My son doesn't need me to refill his sippy cup. I need to go pee. And I've needed to go pee for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And he can wait 2 seconds while I go pee, you know, or mom can slow down and play the piano or draw or read her Bible.
Yes.
Because those are the most important things in that moment.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to idolize taking care of my children above, you know, my relationship with the Lord, or, you know, the things like going to the bathroom.
Absolutely.
Yourself. Yeah. So that is hard to that does take a very unhurried nature.
Mm-hmm.
All of, I feel like a lot of what we're saying, it just takes a very restful, slowed down state.
Yeah.
That maybe we all need in 2025.
Yeah. It sounds like a good common thread.
Yeah.
Unhurried.
Oh, and so the book Deeper, I just started reading it, so take my recommendation with a grain of salt, but Dane Ortlund, I've read his other book and it was really good. The book Deeper might be a good one for anyone who is resonating with like what we've been saying in this podcast, because like so many things of what you guys have said, I've only read like the first chapter of that book, but seem to be like what his theme is going to be. The whole book, he says, even at the beginning, I don't want you to fly through this book, like you were saying, to mm-hmm. check it off.
Yeah.
I want you to sit in it. His whole point is to bring you deeper into the Lord and Jesus himself. So it might be a good book for people to check out.
All right. Anything else, guys? For 2025, are you going to sing for us?
I would, but I'm really going to have to say no.
Because that's fine.
I usually can hear my...
No. So there is this song by King's Kaleidoscope, and we sing it at our church, too. But it's to the tune of Auld Lang Syne,
mm-hmm.
and it's All Glory Be to Christ. And it's just, it's beautiful. And I'll just read a verse of it. Should nothing of our effort stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house, in vain its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn, all glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King, all glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing, all glory be to Christ. So as you are thinking through your 2025, unless the Lord does raise the house, in vain its builders strive. So, Lord, bless the work of our hands as we start a new year, all dedicated to your glory. All right. Until next time.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.